Facebook Live thing was kind of fun.
It turned out all right. I went back and watched it too. I couldn't help myself.
You don't even take your own advice. Cracks me up.
Oh, you've got to watch it or else you can't learn and do better the next time. What do you think about just looking at the camera versus
Yeah.
looking at the person on the thing? Looking at the camera is
I think
better.
so.
I think so too. Plus, it shows my double chin when I turn sideways. I
Oh,
do
well,
not like that.
forget that.
So if we can avoid that at any cost, I'm down with that. Yep.
Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. My delightful co-host, Amy Carroll, and I decided to live on the wild side earlier this week by doing Facebook Live together. It was crazy trying to get all the technology to cooperate, but it actually was a lot of fun. If you missed us live, you can still find the videos on our Facebook ministry pages. And we'll be going live again each Monday morning for the rest of this year. 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern on Amy's Facebook page, and 8:45 Pacific, 11:45 Eastern on my Facebook page. We would love to have you join us. Well, this is week two of our holiday break. When we encourage you to break a holiday bad rule before it has a chance to break you. Today, Amy and I are talking about our holiday calendars and our travel plans. So I think the bad rule for this time of year in terms of our calendar is that your November and December calendar should be black with events written in pen. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It really, there was used to be no white space on my calendar at all. So just, it looked like one, like I had colored it in.
Now, how does this happen to us? I mean, do we do this intentionally going into the holidays, or does it happen to us? Where does this even come from?
I think it's the desire to do every good thing or everything that looks good. You know, I do think it's a heart's desire to connect with people. Now, why we decide that we have to do all of it in those 2 months, I'm not quite sure. If we spread it out over 12 months, surely that would be a little easier.
You know, I was thinking last night about the kinds of events that show up during November and December, and there's so many are so good. You know, I think about some of the musical events and then theater things I want to go to, like if anybody is showing or playing A Christmas Carol, I want to go see that, you know, and then there's all the movies we want to watch as a family. And I think a lot of it is FOMO again, fear of missing out. Oh, I need to go to that and that and that and that. And, you know, everything does look so good. None of it's bad.
Exactly. Oh, and I love that they've come up with a term to describe that fear of missing out that all felt for a long, long time. So it's great to have a word for it now. It's true. Well, I think that you've kind of expressed to me that for highly sensitive people, that this is a particularly difficult time of year. Tell me about that.
The difficulty for those of us who are HSPs is that we overload, especially if there's a lot of change. And the thing about the holidays is because we're going from one thing to another so quickly, there's no downtime. So we can be on the go, go, go. And for somebody who's not an HSP, especially for those who actually need a lot of adrenaline just to keep themselves from being bored, the holidays can just be one big buzz. But for those of us who need the downtime, a lot of people think I might be describing an introvert. There's an overlap between HSP and introvert, but they're not necessarily the same thing. A highly sensitive person gets overwhelmed by too much sensory stimuli. And so, yeah, I love going to a wonderful church concert of Christmas music. But by the end of it, I've heard too much noise or been with too many people, and I do need that downtime as opposed to the person who can then go to the reception afterward and the party after that.
Well, and I'm an extrovert, and I've always sort of considered myself an extreme extrovert until this year when I read the book Quiet,
yes.
which is fantastic. I took the little test at the beginning of the book and found out that I was about half and half, which also has a word attached to it now, which is ambivert.
Yep.
So if you're one of these people that you go, well, I don't consider myself a highly sensitive person necessarily, and I'm not an introvert, so why do I feel so fried? You might be wired like me. You're one of these people that's fueled by the people time. You are a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, but still, you crave the downtime. And even if you don't, Sherry, I think downtime and silence and quiet, it's just good for our souls.
Absolutely. So as an ambivert, do you find yourself hitting a wall suddenly, like the switch just flips off?
Yes, absolutely. Now, for example, my mother and sister-in-law and I, we are, and in my mother-in-law too, when I'm depending on which household I'm at, we're not hardcore Black Friday people, but we kind of enjoy, we go out mid-afternoon. We don't go out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You don't pitch tents.
And for the first little bit, I enjoy all the people and the crowd and the people watching the sales, the adrenaline rush of getting a great sale. But I'll get to that just this point, and all of a sudden I'll think, I'm done.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Time to go home.
Yep.
Yes.
And you know, part of the reason we're doing this holiday break series is to give women permission. And so I'm just going to pause and say, we give you permission to recognize when you've hit that point. And you don't have to keep going or pretending. It's okay to say, I'm done for now. I need a break right now. Let's go to the food court, get a drink, sit in a corner for 5 minutes. For a lot of us, 5 minutes will give us just that little break we need to keep on going and make it through. What I find, it's the refusal to give myself permission, because I don't necessarily like being HSP. And for many years, it was like, no, I can do it. I was so terrified of being a failed extrovert that I would push myself way beyond what I needed to. And it was miserable for everybody involved. This is a time of year where being extra aware of our needs and practicing self-care is a gift to everybody around us.
Yes, because as you were talking, I was thinking that pushing through can seem like such a brave, courageous thing to do, but usually it has disastrous relational results.
Absolutely.
Because that's when I get snappy. That's when I don't have as much patience with the people around me. And so it's not worth it for anybody. Good point.
So can we even say it takes grit during the holidays to practice self-care? That really is the most generous thing we can do. I think as Christian women, it's so easy to feel like self-care has the word self in it. Thus, it must be selfish. Actually, we're the only ones who know what we need in any given moment. The people around us, how are they supposed to know if we ourselves don't know?
And there's the grit of self-care that leads to being able to extend the grace that we need to be able to extend. So
absolutely,
we've got both in there.
I love it. All right. Well, one of the corollaries to this crazy busy calendar concept is that regardless of how busy I am or how strapped for cash I am, I have to travel to keep the family happy. And you said sometimes it's worth it. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, so I have a pro and a con. So one year, our first year that we had a baby, little baby Anson had arrived. We thought, this is the year. This is our excuse. This is our chance to tell our families that we're not doing all of it, that we're not going to everybody's house. So we did. We said, we're staying home and you all can come to us on Christmas Day. And of course, these grandchildren, they have their own gravity. They pull everyone towards
so
them, especially
true.
Grandparents. So they did come. But guess what we found out? We had this really quiet, lovely Christmas morning. We found out we didn't like it, Sherry. It was just so funny because I know a lot of families really insist on that. And we're like, yeah, we're kind of bored here by ourselves. So we actually like going to other people's houses for Christmas, the grandparents' houses. So the solution we have found is that we do Thanksgiving with one family, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day with the other family. Now, we try to spend time during that time period with both, but the day itself is only in one place. So that's how we've paired back. But I will say that one year, there was this tugging in my heart to go see my grandmother that lived out in Kansas. And we really didn't have the finances to do it. It was not, you know, Western Kansas, there's not a lot to do there. So that was not really high on my teenagers' lists of places to visit and go.
Sure.
But I just had this longing to see her.
Sure.
So I told my husband, and Barry said, you know what? This year we break out the credit cards. We're just going to make a plan of how to pay them off over the next year. You want to go see your grandmother, you feel strongly about it, we should go. So we did. It was really a God thing that he had put in my heart. Mm-hmm. That next year, my grandmother fell, broke her hip, and was moved into a nursing home.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was really our last opportunity to go see her. So I'm not an advocate of getting into debt if Dave Ramsey ever listens to this, like, don't call me, please. But in that particular circumstance, mm-hmm. I'm saying sometimes it's yeah. worth it to extend yourself a little bit to see someone that's important to you that you haven't seen for a while. You have a balance to that, I think.
So many of these decisions need to be made so prayerfully. One size doesn't fit all. I know sometimes on this show I have shared that my mother and I didn't get along. And so I wanted to share this particular memory of her that is so positive. Anytime we had plans and it sounded like it wasn't going to work out, she offered nothing but grace. She was always the yeah. first one to say, if it doesn't work out, stay home, do what you need, take care of the kids, take care of yourself. And now that I have adult kids, I'm beginning to understand how hard that must have been for her. She never guilted us. She never said, oh, I was so looking forward to seeing you, and now I'm so disappointed. It was always a message of, I look forward to seeing you as soon as it's possible and healthy for you. That freedom, I listen to friends of mine who have so much guilt and so much pressure. It's like you've rejected the whole family if you don't show up to every single event, and it's basically scheduled for them. I'm grateful I didn't have to experience that. One of the things that I have found over the years is that there's a lot of different costs to travel. And I want to encourage our listeners to think about them and even list them out. Because, yeah, there is the financial cost to travel, but there's a lot that goes on before we travel. There's all the preparations, especially if we're leaving overnight. There's everything that happens while we're traveling. And then there's the cleanup afterward, the right. laundry and getting the household up and running again. One of the things that I deal with is chronic pain. I have an old back injury. And one of the things I have recognized is that I will procrastinate preparing for the travel because I'm being kind of passive aggressive. This is the really dark side of being a perfectionist. It's like, well, I don't want to go, so I'm not going to plan well. And then I'm going to throw everything together at the last minute. Well, who does that end up punishing? It doesn't punish anybody yeah. except for me and the people who are stuck with me, because the things I need to take with me are my foam roller for my legs, and I need to take the TheraBand for my back. Part of preparation is accepting whatever decision has been made. And for me, for too many years, I would say yes with my mouth. Okay, we're coming. But then my behavior was this resentful, but I'm going to do it poorly in a way that shows that I really didn't want to. There's neither grit nor grace to that.
You've brought up two really, I think, essential parts as you talked there. You talked about praying through things. And then really, in essence, you were talking about our priorities. Mm. And somebody said just something heart piercing to me one time recently. They said the way we spend our time reveals our true priorities. Mm. So we really have to think, we're talking about calendars and time, and our time and the way we spend it this season reveals our priorities. So as I thought through these concepts, I thought what we really need to do over the holiday season is to prioritize. Mm. So it's the combination of praying through and listening to God for his voice and making our priorities align with what we truly see as valuable as we seek God for that. So prioritizing our time leads to peace during the holiday. That's going to be what we're replace all this angst with.
I love it. I love it. And then if we have prioritized, then we are more likely to prepare adequately oh. for whatever decision we've made.
I love it. Oh, I love a little wordplay.
The thing I've come to realize for our family, at least, is that sleep is vital. Sleep deprivation is like alcoholism for us. And so that's one of the biggest things that happens when we travel is we have to get up early. You know, when the kids were little, they didn't get their naps, or we adults didn't get our naps. And if we're staying with family, we might stay up late, that sort of thing. And so for most of us with travel, our sleep cycles get thrown off. And so I've become really, really intentional. Obviously, none of these are going to guarantee a good night's sleep, but they sure help. Earplugs are our best friend. Travel with extra strength, yes. jackhammer strength earplugs. And I take my pillow with me now. I used to think, oh, I'm such a prima donna. I don't want to have to take my own pillow. Well, I sleep better with my own pillow. Hello. And so, you know, some places I go, sometimes it's a hotel, sometimes it's a family member's house. They love big poofy ones, and I need one that's really, really flat. What works is what I'm doing. I had one person tell me, take a favorite blanket. And again, I was like, well, that seems so high maintenance. But a lot of us, special textures, the right size, and it just makes us feel cozy and helps us relax.
It's a comfort.
It is absolutely a comfort. And speaking of comfort items, I take my teddy bear with me everywhere. Don't you judge me. I've read statistics that say 1/3 of adults travel with a stuffed animal. So I do not feel too bad.
Well, I am not judging you. If Daniel is okay with it, then I'm totally down with it too. So my family used to travel a lot during Christmas because we had grandparents in Kansas and Colorado, mm-hmm. and we lived in North Carolina. So we were either on planes or on the road. And one of the things my parents did is make sure that we got some exercise. And I think this is for adults as well as kids. There are so many hotels now that have indoor pools, mm-hmm. and they're not even expensive hotels. So I think you can book intentionally and take the swimming suits along, or at least get out and take a walk. You'll sleep better. Mm-hmm. Your bones will feel better the next day when you're getting back in the car. And exercise, I think, for me, is more for my head than my body. It just gets those endorphins going, and it's just positive all the way around.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, these are two of the most basic things we know we need for health, and yet they are so easily the first two things that just fly out the window for the holiday season. And we get crabby, and we get grouchy, and wonder what's wrong. And what's wrong is the most basic things for self-care are being neglected. So I think you're so right on that. You know, you had some verses that I just thought really applied to what we're talking about so well. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, this is from the Message version. And I love the Message because sometimes it kind of jolts my brain out of that traditional, like having heard a verse so many times. So I love to read it beside my other version I use. Mm-hmm. But this is from the Message. It's Matthew 11:28-30. And it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Those are the words of Jesus. I mean, does that make you want to exhale?
I could literally feel my shoulders just kind of starting to drop and not be so tense and anxious.
Yes, I think that we really have here in America made Thanksgiving and Christmas almost a religion of their own. And he's saying, are you burned out on religion? And I think a lot of us are burned out on this perfect idea of the holidays. But he encourages us to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love those words and how they're strung together.
Amy and I would love to hear from you. Head on over to gritandgrace.info. That's grit, the letter N, grace, all one word, .info. And tell us how you are breaking bad rules over the holidays. You'll also find two great free downloads that will help you prioritize your holidays and make a plan to be sure that your November and December calendar actually includes some white space. And there's another permission slip you can print to remind you that you don't have to obey the bad rule that demands your November-December calendar should be black with events written in pen. You can keep in mind that prioritizing our time leads to peace. We hope you've enjoyed episode number 19 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Join us for next week's holiday break when Amy and I will be discussing gifts and budgets. For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, by all means, break it.